Let's take our Bibles and let's turn to page to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We'll just read a few verses here this morning. Matthew chapter 2. And let's start in verse 7. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 7. We've been talking a little bit about Christmas, and we'll finish up this morning. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." We looked at this story a little over the last couple weeks. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time of the year. Thank you for all that you have done in our lives, the opportunity we have to be here this morning. I pray you'd speak to our hearts from your word and help us as we understand more clearly your love for us because of this time of year, because of Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, this is our final message. We're doing a little mini-series on Christmas. And we hope that you have a great December, a December you will remember. And there's so much good that can come with it. The last couple weeks, we spoke about Christmas. We talked about how we are to keep Christmas and understanding its meaning. And it's not just, you know, days off and this, that, or the other, but there's a little bit more to it than that. Last week, we talked about living Christmas, and we used the same story here. We've just picked out a few verses for today. We're going to talk about something very specific, but last year, we talked about living Christmas and the difference that it ought to make in our life, and we used the story of the three wise men here, or we don't know if there's three, but let's just say there's three, okay, because they gave three gifts. And you don't want to go to a Christmas party and not bring a gift, all right? So we'll go with three, although the Bible's not really specific as to how many there are, but the wise men came. Today we're going to use these verses to get us started. As we have mentioned, many people, this is their favorite time of the year. It's a good time of year to maybe get our thoughts straight, to maybe we're looking towards 2016 and how we want to live and what God wants to do. And I hope you think about those type of things. I hope that you're not just always living for the right here and now, okay? I hope you could look back at your life as we wrap up 2015. And by the way, it seems like the years go faster and faster and faster. How many of you feel that way? Seems like Christmas 2015, didn't we just do Christmas last year? It goes fast. But I hope as you look at your life, the end of this year, from the beginning of the year, and I hope you've grown some in your faith. I hope you're better. I hope you're different. And if you are, that doesn't happen on accident. And so it's a good time. Many like Christmas. We like the music. And it's a seasonal. We don't sing Christmas music all year long. I mean, it seems kind of weird to be singing it in July when it's hot, right? You know? But we like the Christmas music. I like the Christmas music. I like them in our songbook. We'll sing a little Singspiration tonight. We'll sing many of them back to back. Because the Christmas hymns are a very, they're doctrinal, okay? A lot of the Christmas songs we sing have a lot of good doctrine. Now, Frosty the Snowman doesn't, okay? Now, I do, you know, he had a good spirit, and, you know, he always had a good attitude, but Frosty has nothing to do with it. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, why in the world would you roast them anyhow? I don't get that. You've heard the one version, what is it, chipmunks roasting on an open fire? That probably tastes a little bit better, But the Christmas music's good. Many people, you like the days off of work, okay? How many of you have some days off of work this week, okay? Not the church staff. We're taking those back. Just kidding. But you have days off this week. How many of you have not just Christmas Eve and Christmas, but you have a few extra days off? Okay, good. I hope you enjoy those. And we want you to do that. Have traditions, and there's things we do in our family for Christmas, and we have traditions. Certain days we do certain things, or this time of year we do certain things together, and it doesn't involve drinking or anything like that. But we have things we do together, and the family kind of looks forward to it. Now, we do that on purpose, and we're trying to develop a spirit in our family and keep everybody together and enjoy our time together, and we do that, and traditions are good. By the way, your children remember those type of things. They associate it with family, and by the way, they should. And those type of things are good. I like the Christmas parties we do, the annual Christmas parties. How many of you were able to go to your Sunday school class's Christmas party? Okay, I think some of the classes had them on Friday. I think the Filipinos had theirs without Brother Bichardo. That made me nervous. I'm like, what's going on down there? You know, I almost wanted to go down there and be a part of it. Because, Ladio, did you run it? Did you run the Christmas party? Oh, yeah, now we're going to blame someone else. Yeah, I was coming in yesterday at 9 o'clock for our prayer meeting, and they were just leaving. So I don't know what happened Friday night, but they were here late, as long as you clean up your mess. But, Chris, I enjoy it. We had our Christmas party. Unfortunately, it was freezing cold. It was windy, and no one could sit outside, and so we were all jammed together in our house. And then we had our Christmas sweaters. Yes, my wife said all the guys would wear their Christmas sweaters, and I guess, praise God for Luke. Him and I were the only ones that did it. So I guess we were the only ones masculine enough, or we were in touch with our masculinity where we could do that. The rest of the guys struggle with that, so pray for them. But Christmas, it's a great time of year, and I hope you enjoy it. I hope you have time with your family over the next few days, and it's great. And then the food. Man, Christmas food. Okay. By the way, you have to have turkey on Christmas Day. You got to do that. It's good. Christmas cookies. And, man, they sell these ones. I know you make them, and those are good, but they sell these little ones at Trader Joe's. It's a little gingerbread man. He's got this green frosting on the back. And, man, those are like, bang, those are good. And so I'm going to go there right after church and get some more of those. But I hope you have a good time. But there's more involved with Christmas than just that stuff. And that's what we're trying to get, okay? Let's not just be happy 3 weeks a year. We can have that kind of joy all year round, okay? And we can eat like that all year round. We just have to work on it. But there's one thing associated with Christmas I want to talk about this morning. Gifts, okay? Gifts are a part of Christmas. By the way, it's very joyful to be able to give a gift to somebody. Do something nice for them. Do something for your children. And it's really nice when your children do something for you. Okay, are my kids listening? Make sure we take care of Dad today this year. They usually give me the bill. But gifts, it's part of Christmas. We see in our story that there were three great gifts that were brought to Jesus. From the gifts, we assume there were three wise men. Gold, of course, if we look at gold, gold is of obvious value. And really, if you think of gold, gold is the currency of kings. And that's why they brought it to Jesus. We understand that Jesus Christ is not just a king, he is the king. He is the king above all kings, and he deserved their gift of gold. Frankincense, it's essentially really a very expensive incense. It was used in the Jewish temple in worship. You see that in Leviticus. And therefore, it had a relationship to the office of the priest. And of course, if we understand Jesus Christ is our high priest. He has broke down all the walls that the Jews had to go to back through the priest, which was a picture of going before God. Well, through the death of Jesus Christ, all that's been broken down, and we can now have direct access to God because of Jesus Christ. And then myrrh is an expensive perfume. It was used in the Middle East. In the Old Testament, it was a principal ingredient in the holy anointing oil, and such oil was used to anoint the prophets. And it was also used to embalm the dead. So there you have a double meaning for Jesus Christ. But if you think about gifts at Christmas, Christmas is a time for gift giving. And it's always been associated with that. When you're buying someone a gift, aren't you trying to find that perfect gift for them? We kind of get away from that now. You know what? A lot of gifts now are what? Gift cards. By the way, gift cards are good. Okay? Cash is even better because you know what cash is? Cash is a gift card to anywhere. It's exactly what it is. When Stephen was a little boy, he gave me a little envelope. It had $5 in it. I said, what's this? He goes, $5 gift card to anywhere. It's like, ah, there you go, that'll work. But gifts, that you look for that special gift for that one person. One lady, she had quite a few family members she had to buy gifts for. So she decided just to buy them a gift card and put it inside of a Christmas card. She looked and she bought all the gift cards and she found a box of Christmas cards. They were all the same type of, they were all the same, exact same type of Christmas card. And she signed them with her name and wrote at the bottom, buy your own Christmas presents. She felt good about being able to knock it all out, you know, passed out the cards to everybody, and she felt good that she was done. And so on Christmas Day, she was lounging around, and she looked, and she opened a drawer, and she saw all of the gift cards in the drawer. So when the people got their Christmas cards, it was empty, and it said, buy your own presents. Okay. She didn't have a really good Christmas that year. I heard another story. There was one last-minute shopper who waited until the very end just to send out a Christmas card. So in a hurry, she grabbed a box of generic Christmas cards and a pack of 50, all the same type. She addressed envelopes, and she put the cards in the mail. After she was done, a few days later, she noticed she had a leftover card from the batch that she had left over. She hadn't really read the message that had been given to her friends. She was horrified when she read it, and it said, this is just a little card to say your Christmas gift is on the way. Okay, so she had to go get some gifts really fast. But we associate gifts with Christmas. But I want us to see two things today associated with us. I want you to see, first of all, God's gift to us. And I want you to see, secondly, some gifts we can give to God. Do you know God's very gracious? He gives to us that which we do not deserve. Okay, that's what a gift is, isn't it? A gift is something that is given to you with no strings attached, and you make no payment for it. God's been very gracious to us. And God, if we think about it, has given us many gifts. What are some of the gifts God's given us? Thank God he's given us the gift of eternal life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. You know what a wage is? A wage is something you earn based on something you have done. When you get your tax papers in probably another month or so, the tax papers will all start going out in January, you'll see your statement of wages and earnings. What is a wage? A wage is something you earn based on what you did. Guess what? We're all sinners. And because we're all sinners, we have earned a wage. It is something that we have earned, and that wage is death. But I like the second part of the verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you understand a gift is a complete opposite of a wage? We don't earn anything. It is something that God freely offers to us. And it's not based on anything we've done. It's not based on who we are. Because in God's eyes, we're nothing. In God's eyes, because of our sin, we deserve really a devil's hell. But because of his love for us, God offers us a wonderful gift. And that gift is eternal life. The Bible tells us in Romans that we must accept that gift. It says, if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has sent him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, this gift that is offered to us, the sad part is not everybody gets it. See, this gift must be accepted. I'm pretty sure on Christmas morning when typically now the way it works now with our family, even though we have some married, they all come over on Christmas morning. All the gifts are our house. We all open them together. I'm pretty sure that, especially with the younger ones and the grandkid and Emily, when we give them a gift, they're going to say, no, thanks, I don't want it. How many of you ever had your child do that? I mean, before they open it. Yeah, they don't do that, do they? It's like they open that one and say, hey, is there anything else under that tree with my name on it? Okay. By the way, parents, yours is in the stocking. It's called credit card bills. That's what your gift is. Hope you don't use credit for that. If so, we just talked on Proverbs for 2 months about that. You should listen to that. But they don't refuse it. They take it. But here, God offers the most wonderful gift any person could ever have. And you know what the sad thing is? Many people reject it. They don't accept it. And although the gift is there and it's available, in essence, it's stuck under the tree. They don't take it. God's offering us the greatest gift anybody could ever take. I used this story many years ago, but in 1829, there were two men, Wilson and Porter. They were convicted of robbing the United States mail and were sentenced to death by hanging. By the way, back then, that was a capital offense. Now we don't have a capital offense for anything, and maybe that's why our crime is out of control. 3 weeks before the time set for Wilson's execution, he was pardoned by President Andrew Jackson. Strangely enough, Wilson said, "I don't want the pardon." He refused it. Pardon means he's not going to be killed. He's done. He's free. And he said, "I don't want it." They decided to try to force it upon him. And he kept saying, "I don't want it." So the case actually went to the Supreme Court of the United States. The Supreme Court made a decision, and here's what they said when they handed down their decision. This is back when the Supreme Court had a conscience and a brain, not like today. That was free. They said, "A pardon is a deed to the validity of which delivery is essential." In other words, it must be delivered. "And delivery is not complete without acceptance. It may then be rejected by the person to whom it is tendered. And if it is rejected, we have discovered no power in this court to force it upon them." And so what happened? He was executed. You know what the Supreme Court said? "Yes, this is for him. Yes, it is offered, but it is not our responsibility to force them to accept it. Therefore, if he doesn't accept it, then basically he'll take the punishment." Do you know that's what most people in this world are doing with the gift of God? They're not accepting it. It's there, it's offered, but they're rejecting it, and God does not force it on them. And if they don't accept it, then they will pay the ultimate punishment. God's been good to us, and he offers to us eternal life. Next, I want to see another gift that God offers to us through Christmas is hope. Aren't you glad that we can have hope? I don't see a lot of, maybe I'm a negative. I tried to be positive, Brother Chim, but I can be negative, okay? And when I see what's going on in this world sometimes, Brother Miha, I get real negative. I don't see good things coming. I don't fear because I know the Lord, but I look to the future and I'm like, it's not good. By the way, things are getting worse. Now, we're not old. Some of us my age, we are not old at all. But we can just look back the few years when we were younger, and the people in our generation at that time that were our age, they would look back, but it's a whole different ballgame. And I shudder to think what it's going to be back like in another 20 years. And by the way, I'm not trying to be negative. It's Christmas, and we're trying to be happy today, but they're going to come after Christianity and churches in our country. It's starting. Man, I was going to talk about hope, and I just messed the whole thing up. But there is hope, because we do know Jesus Christ. And by the way, we know the end of the story. It's going to be good. So if I allow myself, you know, to marinate on all the negativity, it could be bad. But you know what? I have hope. That hope is in Jesus Christ. I love the verse in Colossians. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is," and I love this phrase, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Can I just tell you something? You have hope for the life on this earth today. You know why? If you have Jesus Christ inside of you. You're saved and you're one of his children and you know Jesus Christ. You can live with a hope that the world cannot have. By the way, people can live without a lot of things. You can live without food some more days than others. You can live a certain amount of time without food. You can't live long without air. You can live a certain amount of time without water. You can live a certain amount of time without certain things. But you cannot live a minute if you do not have a real hope in this life. Hope. In the 50s, there was a man named Kurt Richard. He was a Harvard graduate and a Johns Hopkins scientist. He did a series of experiments that tested how long rats could swim in a high-sided bucket of circulating water before they would drown. Richter found that under normal conditions, a rat could swim for an average of 15 minutes before he would give up and just quit trying, and he would die. He would drown. However, he found that if he rescued the rats just before they would drown, dried them off, let them rest, and then put them into the back into the same bucket, if he did this a few times, the rats could swim an average of 60 hours before they would drown. You know what the difference was? He pulled them out a few times, and so when he would put them back in, they realized in their little mind that there was a hope that maybe they would be pulled back out again, and so that encouraged them to go longer. Hope's a very powerful force. And if we're saved and we know Jesus Christ, we have hope. Oh, things are crazy, or I'm going through this, or I'm struggling with this. Listen, if Christ lives inside of you, and you know him, and you would strengthen that relationship with him, you can have hope. By the way, hope in the Bible isn't a hope like, oh, you know, I'm going to cross my fingers, maybe it'll happen. You know, cross your fingers, maybe the Lakers are going to win their next game. Listen, let me help you with that. They're not. They stink. By the way, you're not going to get a good draft pick if you don't stink, so just keep it up, Lakers. But that's hope. Maybe they're going to win. Maybe they're not. But hope in the Bible means this. Something for sure is going to happen in the future, and my hope is in that, and I know it's going to happen. That's hope. It is a security in a future event that is going to take place. I have hope in heaven. Oh, that's pie in the sky. Maybe it is. And if it is, I hope it's pumpkin pie, all right? But maybe it is pie in the sky, but it is real, and I can have hope in it even though I don't experience it right now. Hope. Hope, that's available to everybody because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also this, victory is available. You know, we don't have to live a defeated life. We talked a little about this. I think that was last Sunday night. I'm starting to lose focus here. Victory Sunday last Sunday. Victory. By the way, as I mentioned last Sunday night, I used to coach all of our athletic teams. I've coached, at one time, I coached girls basketball. I have no idea. It was kind of crazy, but I did it. I coached girls volleyball. By the way, I realized something with girls. They did not need a coach. They needed a psychologist is what they needed. They were good. We won championships, but man, sometimes they would just zone out. And I'm like, okay, I've had enough of you girls today. Just whatever. But I hated to lose. I'll confess. I remember one time, and maybe this is me and Brother Chim, we were playing, we had, our guys actually played volleyball. So the girls played volleyball against First Baptist First, and we were a way better team, way better than them. But it was one of those games when they didn't need a coach, they needed a psychologist. And so we won the first game like 15-1. And I'm like, there you go. We're better than they are. And then the next game, they just zoned out, and we got beat. And I'm like, what are you girls doing? By the way, it was not good that I coached girls volleyball. I made them all cry and things like that. It was not good. Now, if they lost to a team that was better, oh, but anyhow. So, all right, you had a bad game. Let's go. Let's snap out of it. And the team wasn't even good. We just were making mistakes. And we lost the third game. And that was it. 2 out of 3, I think, we were playing. And then the girls, you know, we had their little like, what is wrong with you guys? You're a psychologist. We'll deal with you later. And they all went and sat on the sidelines, and they were all happy. They're going to watch the boys play. And I was mad that they lost. And I saw them all happy. I'm like, they should not be happy. We lost. What is there to be happy about? And my wife happened to come to the game, and at that time we had a 15-passenger van. And I thought, I'm not happy. And the more I thought about it, the less happy I got. And I said, hey, hon, do me a favor. Take the girls back to the church. I said, hey, girls. They all, yeah, we're going to watch the boys play. I said, no, you're not. I said, you didn't work this game. You ain't watching the boys. You're going to go back to the church. My wife's going to take you, and you're going to do 20 laps. I said, if you didn't want to work this game, we'll get you working for the next game. They're like, I'm like, yeah. And I sent them all back to, by the way, I never got Christmas cards from them either. Still don't to this day. I didn't get that, you know. I used to get bomb threats. I don't know where that came from. I was like, listen, I hate to lose. By the way, it was bad. We'd lose to some coach, and she's pregnant, and I had to shake her hand. You know, it's like, I don't know, it just got on me. I don't like to lose. But you know what? More is at stake in our Christian life than just a game. When the season was over or whatever, and I got home, I got a good night's sleep, it's all good. What a shame that so many of us that know Jesus Christ, if we were honest and we looked at our life, we would say we live a defeated Christian life. We don't experience the joy. The things we've been talking about the last few weeks, we struggle with it. I like the verse in 1 Corinthians. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand the victory is not attached to us? It's attached to him. And because we're attached to him, we win. I remember many, many years ago when we were back at the old church on Anaheim, the first couple of years of the church, we used to have these outreach basketball tournaments. And Brother Coomley, we had a New Year's Day tournament. And Brother Coomley put a team together. And he's like, hey, I want you to play on my basketball team. I'm like, okay. And he's like, I'm going to get some guys. And there was a bunch of guys that played. And there was a lot of good players, and I knew who they were. And a lot of these guys that came, a lot of the good players got together, and they put themselves on a team. And so I thought, I'll go play. You know, we'll play one or two games, and we'll be eliminated. And, you know, I can go back home and eat turkey or whatever. And we went there, and Coomley says, I got this guy on our team. And Brother Jim, he reminded me of you, kind of the same build as you. I forget his name. He used to come around and play. And he goes, this guy can play. I'm like, okay, whatever. I thought, and you know what? We won our first game, and I'm like, this guy, he can play. And we won the next game. I'm like, he really can play. And then we played that good team, and they thought they were going to blow us out, and we found out he could really play. We beat him. We beat everybody the whole day, won the tournament. But you know what? You know why? It's because that guy was on our team. Once I saw that guy and I saw he could play, I'm like, we got this. Because this guy can play. He's on our team. You know what? You know how come we can have victory? Not because of who you are, not because of who I am, because of who he is. And if we are not experiencing victory, I'll tell you why. We're choosing not to experience victory. He also gives us wisdom. Wisdom. We can see how life is supposed to be lived because he is in this world. John chapter 1, let me read a couple verses. It says, in the beginning, starting at verse 1 of chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is Jesus Christ. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, one of the blessings of Jesus Christ living on this earth, he was God's Word in flesh. He faced all the same things that we would face, and yet he did it perfectly. You know what he is? He's our example. He is an example of what a person would be if they did everything the Word of God said. That's why he's the Word made flesh. That's wisdom. You know what wisdom is? The wisdom is the ability to take what the Bible says and put it into practice in our life. Jesus Christ was that. And so when we read the Bible tells us one of the things that God wants to do, he wants us to be conformed into the image of his Son. He wants us to become more like Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was wisdom in the flesh. We can learn how to live this life, and we can live it the way God wants us to live because we follow Jesus Christ. Now, give me a couple minutes here and let me tell you what we should give to God. You see, giving's a two-way street. You know, that. We're embarrassed sometimes, and of course, it happens sometimes. Somebody we don't know or somebody that's just a casual acquaintance, they want to do something nice, they give you a gift, and you didn't know about it, and you didn't get them a gift. You understand that, but you feel awkward. Now, if you get your wife a gift and she doesn't get you a gift, that's not awkward. That's a sign that you're probably going to get some documentation from a lawyer soon. That's what that is. Okay. That's not a good sign. Giving's a two-way street. So God gives to us, but you know what? We ought to give a few things to God. Let me just briefly tell you and we're done. Really, what God wants is to have a living, vital relationship with you. He tells us, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind. God wants us to know him and who he is. God wants us to know him in a great way. Primarily, we get to know him through his word. There's a guy, the guy that runs RU now, his name is Ben Burke. Ben Burke went to Bible college with me. We were in the same bus division. And I remember one time we were on the bus, and what would happen is we would drop all the kids off, and then the guys there, we were ministerial students, whatever that is. We were preacher students. So we would all preach to each other on the way back. We'd all get 5 minutes. And you know, I've heard all kinds of guys, and they've said all kinds of crazy stuff. I remember something he said. We were going back on the bus one time, and he got up. He was preaching about the Bible, and he said, he gave this illustration. He said, when I was a kid, our parents always gave us a lot of gifts. We always got a lot of stuff. He goes, but I remember one year we had some financial issues in the house. I don't know if his mom or his dad or someone lost their job, and they didn't really have any money. He goes, and that Christmas morning, he goes, I got one gift. He goes, and that was a very unusual for us. He goes, but you know what that gift was? He goes, that gift was a brand new Bible. He said, looking back on that now, that was the greatest gift I ever received. The Bible. You know, God wants to have that relationship with us. He wants us to know him and really know what he's like. Why don't we give him that gift? Imagine that. All he wants to do is have a relationship with us. Let's not be like, fellas, that girl you liked one time and she didn't like you back. Now, I don't know what that's like, because every girl I ever liked me, Brother Pineda, so that wasn't an issue. But I remember you told me about some. You know, you could do whatever you want. You could send her notes, and you can send her candy canes, and you can give her gifts, and you can do this, and you can do that, and it's like, she's not saying it, but really in her mind she's thinking, drop dead, cowboy. Right? Look, God's not like that. God wants us to have a relationship with him. He's not like that towards us, but let's make sure we are not like that towards him. God wants us to know him. What is Christmas about? Christmas is about gifts. Not primarily, that's a part of it. Because gifts represent the love and the relationship and the thought behind them. Hey, God's given us a lot. We ought to be thankful. Why don't we give him this one? Let's have a better relationship with him next year. Let's draw closer to him. After all, that's why he came in the first place. Let's all stand together this morning.